Thank you, Pastor Paul. Thank you, worship team. Good morning, church. How are we doing today? Amen. My name is David Miles, and I'm one of the pastors here at New Hope Church. It's a privilege to be with you to open up God's Word this morning together and continue in our Stand Firm series. So I want to invite you also to grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. We're in the first chapter. And as we start this morning, I want to ask the question, who's got your attention? Who's got your attention? There's a number of things that we could say have our attention. Because there's been a number of things that we've been going through this past year. You don't necessarily need me to remind you because you're sitting right in it. Be it a pandemic that's just passed a year with 500,000 people who have passed away. Be it racial unrest with George Floyd and a trial that'll be coming up that needs prayer in our city. Be it recent things with our Capitol election, be it loss of family members. As I've had opportunity to talk with people, pray with people, even officiate services of people who've lost loved ones, and those who are concerned of those going through various things, might it be jobs? There's a whole bunch of things that has taken hold of our attention. I noticed that many people are kind of screened out, zoomed out. I call it zoomified, mummified, all that fied. And the kids, woo! I know they're loving distance learning. Some are, some aren't. But we've been through a number of different things, and those are the things that have captured our attention. Now, another thing that tends to capture attention is things on television. Now, I might be dating myself, but at one time in our nation, there was this major question that people were asking. And the question was, who shot JR? How many? Yeah, my kids, I give lots of reminders for them and say, Dad, like, really? You know? Now it might be Mandalorian, it might be Chicago Fire, it might be some sort of show that's on. Recently, some of the most viewed shows were NFL. And we found out Tom Brady got his 7th trophy. Why? Us as Viking fans are still waiting for our first. No words from the Packers fan, please. Just pray for a brother. There's many things that grab our attention. According to PPC Connect and permission.io and Forbes.com, they noticed that in 1976, the average American saw between 500 and 1,600 advertisements. In 1996, that went up to 3,500. In 2007, it was at 5,000. And just recently, they noted that the average American sees anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 advertisements a day. The Food Industry Service for supermarkets had noted that some major chains have 46,000 different items in it. So you literally can walk down an aisle and just like, on all the advertisement that's there. And you see, advertisement's a big thing because last year, Google made $134 billion just off of advertisement fees. Facebook, $69 billion. And there's a movie that came out, a Netflix documentary that said this. It was called Social Dilemma. It was an expose looking at social media companies and how some things had started off as ways to connect us, and then they ended up turning into test grounds, looking at the human brain and ways to monetize that. And there's a couple interesting quotes. If you haven't seen it, it's a good watch. But a couple quotes from the movie were this. They asked the question, how much of your life can we get you to give us? Another person said, if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product. Edward Tuffy, a person who had worked with developing Google stuff, he said, there's only two industries that call their customers users, illegal drugs and software. And Justin Rosenstein said, we're the product. Listen, our attention is the product being sold to advertisers. Our attention. You see, kids nowadays, they're growing up in a time kind of as a first generation that they don't need their parents to find out anything. They can go online. They have unlimited access to unlimited amounts of content. But the problem with that is that they lack the context or wisdom to understand the unlimited content that they have access to. So there's all these things vying for our attention, and we're not the first ones. See, the Apostle Peter was writing to a group of people in the dispersia because there were people vying for their attention. There were false teachers who were out there, and they were seeking to get them off of what Pastor Matthew talked about last week in 2 Peter chapter 1, our precious and very great promises that are found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he exhorts them to remain faithful to the work of Christ and of his second coming. So this morning, if you have your fingers in your Bible at 2 Peter, please say amen. And if you want to talk about this on the radio, one of my favorite sounds. Oh, I just love the sound of turning scripture pages. Oh, such a beautiful sound. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. I'll be reading from the ESV, and it reads, therefore, I intended always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Now, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that I'll be putting off my body will be very soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were witnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this very born voice from heaven, and we were with him on that holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you would do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of God's word. This morning, we're jumping back into our series, and one of the first things that Peter really wants us to understand in this first chapter is that it's about the centrality of Jesus Christ. If you go look through chapter 1, in the first, 17 verses, he mentions Jesus by a proper noun of 8 times and by pronouns by 9. 17 different times, he's referring about Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What are you getting at, Pastor David? Listen, Peter tells his readers, Jesus is coming again. And because Jesus is the Word of God fully confirmed, our passage this morning is going to tell us that we must pay attention to the memory of God's word, to the majesty of God's word, and to the meaning of God's word. Y'all ready? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you speak powerfully through your word. Lead, encourage your church for the glory of your great name. Amen. So one of the things that we're being told here is that because of the word fully confirmed, we must pay attention to the memory of God's word through the reminder of others. Look at verse 12. Therefore, I intended always to remind you of these qualities. Though you know them already and you're establishing the truth that you have, I think it right as long as I'm in this body to stir you up to reminder. Here we're going to look at Peter's intention and his reason. His intention was to continually remind him. He says in verse 12, I wanted to remind you of the qualities back in verse 5 of faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Now, Peter's like, listen, I want to remind you of these, though I already know that you know them and that you are established in them. But one of the things that Peter's making a very, very important point here, truth, even when you know it, bears repeating. Let me say that again. Truth, even when you know it, bears repeating. You see, we've been living in a season, it seems like, of prolific untruth telling. And some of that stuff can wash over you, come cascading, and it just kind of gets all up in your ear and your, you know, all that stuff that mama used to tell you to get a washcloth and wipe out. And next week, Pastor Matthew will come and we're going to see in chapter 2:2 how the false teachers attacked the way of truth. Listen to me. Truth matters. And not just as you see it mostly, but as God sees it and as God's word declares it. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And this is why we're continually reminded, especially in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to discern with the will of God what is good and acceptable and perfect. Because brothers and sisters, when we are out of congruency, when we're kind of out of alignment, it's just rough. Dr. John Stott said this, hypocrisy is hideous. What cancer is to the body, hypocrisy is to the church. It's a killing agent. Unfortunately, hypocrisy is also addictive. And even though Jesus reserved his most severe words of condemnation for the hypocrite, we still seem to prefer that lifestyle to truth and authenticity. You see, truth bears repeating. It bears repeating, and Peter's like, listen, therefore I intended always to remind you. He would go on to say, I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. It kind of seems redundant until you think of this. GetBridge.com notices the 10 facts about learning retention you'll wish you could forget. After 1 hour, people retain less than half of the information presented. After 1 day, people forget more than 70% of what was taught in training. After 6 days, people forget 75% of the information of their training. To learn, the brain builds on existing knowledge. That's why practice can make perfect. For the young people, and even for the old people, sleep affects memory, and scientists recommend that you get a full night's sleep within the first 30 hours of learning something new. Now, believers, they know the gospel, yet in a sense, we must relearn it day after day. The great reformer Martin Luther, someone once asked him, why do you preach justification every week? He said, because my people leak. We tend to forget. And so Peter is saying here, he's saying, my intention is to always remind you. And he gives a reason. He gives reasons here. Look at verse 13. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made that clear to me. And I will make every effort. First reason why he's doing this, because time is short. Some of people refer back to John chapter 20 when Jesus is on the shore and he explains to Peter the type of death that he's going to die. And one of the things that we see happen in Peter's relationship with Jesus is that we see a Peter that went from resisting the Lord's death in Matthew 16 when the Lord said, I have to go to the cross. And Peter's like, I don't think so. After just saying, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then we see him move to being distressed about Jesus' words concerning his love and his death in John 21, to right here, to accepted certainty of his own death through the gospel. And as he's sitting here thinking about this, my time is short, what comes to mind is, and let us continue and consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. May I ask, how are you helping to strengthen others in their faith? PDM, I haven't thought about that. Let's just take five seconds. Who can you remind this week of those precious and very great promises of God? Before you leave today, write that down. First reason, he knows his time is short. Second reason, he does it so that they can recall the future. I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Deuteronomy 6:5, the Lord tells them to diligently teach their children intentionality about all the words of God. Why? So that when the Lord brings you into the land that he promised you, that you would take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I'm so grateful for our sister Joanna Lundberg, who started a grandparents ministry here. Because y'all have, can I just have a brief moment? So, I am allowed and I have had the opportunity to teach a class at Northwestern. One on spiritual formation, one on prison letters, and then one on Christianity and culture. And I get students. And it's really interesting because there's this thing where we talk about a Bible reader's inventory where they look at their experience. And grandparents and aunties and uncles and sisters and brothers and classmates and coworkers, I wish that you could hear the stories that I hear. I had a gal shared the other day. She's just like, I said, tell me about your faith journey. She goes, like, I was in school, and I saw this one kid, and they came and sat down, and they're like, you should come to church with me. And the person was like, that's bold. And she goes, but I went, and I found Christ, and my life was changed. After my failed suicide attempt, my locker mate, Lance Porter, that's the person who invited me to Student Venture. He just said, hey, Dave, what are you doing this night? You want to come with me? That's it! So will the next generation and grandchildren believe? Bruce Barton gives 6 things for helping future generations, not only for grandparents, but for all of us. Talk with your children. Talk with your grandchildren. Barton notes, many grandparents fail to connect with younger ones, especially as they become teenagers. Talk about God. Keep it simple. Some of them pretend like they don't want to talk, but some of them, they're telling me, like, I wish I had somebody to talk to. And it's frightening, but keep at it. Start a scrapbook that tells the story of your faith and your family. Include important dates and records. Make an audio or videotape of the real you, your struggles, and God's work in your life. Explain how you became a Christian. 4, talk about God in your last will and testimony. 5, plan your Christian funeral so that everyone will know where your hope lay. My mom did that. She asked me to help her. 5, 6, demonstrate assurance that your future with God in heaven is the source of real happiness. You see, Peter makes every effort to be sure that his teaching would be available to him after he died. We're going to be launching arrows that we won't live to see where they land. But we're putting forth and we're saying, God, take them farther for your purposes and your glory. We have confidence as disciples because of the testimony of truth intentionally passed down. So we're paying attention to the memory of God's word. Next, pay attention to the majesty of God's word in the living Christ. Look at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths, plural, when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter first tells them what this isn't that he's talking about, and then what it is, what it's not. He says, listen, we, the apostles, when he's talking about we, all of them, we didn't follow cleverly invented stories. The word there is like myths or fable. It was a word that was used of kind of the Greek gods where they would have these various things going on, and they tell these stories. And Peter says, no. That's not what we were following. That's not the story that we're telling about Jesus. You see, people at that time were being influenced by a group of people that were saying, look, God isn't providential. Life is all fate. You're moo and goo and you find your relative at the zoo. And they were saying, but if God is real, he doesn't punish anyone. Kind of a universalism. Kind of a, you know, my God would never judge me for that. And not only did Peter face that, but we face that today. And 2 Timothy says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own pastors. They will turn passions. There are some of those folks out there, pastors too, that, by the way, be like the Bereans. Check what we're saying as pastors. Check God's word. I found my good authority that all the teaching pastors here would say, we want you in God's word like the Bereans. Looking at that and making sure. Look, the Bereans did that to the Apostle Paul. So y'all definitely do that to me. He said, they will accumulate teachers to suit their own passion and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Peter says, we have a hope that we have a confidence in the majesty of God's word, and this is what it was. He says, listen, we didn't traffic in myth. On the contrary, we were eyewitnesses that their teaching was anchored and rooted in history. When he says that we were eyewitnesses, the second one, he's talking about James, John, and himself. In Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was there and the glory of God fell down, and there was Moses who was representing the law and Elijah who was representing the prophets. And they're seeing this like on this mountain, Jesus being glorified, that Jesus is being affirmed by his Father. And Peter's like, we saw that. But not only did we see it, we heard a glorious sound. Look at verse 17. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father and the voice borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. You see, God the Father speaks and says, this one, yes, this one, this is my Son. This is the Son of God. With him, I'm well pleased. And Peter's saying, listen, guys, we didn't follow
We didn't follow any myths. This was faithful. We heard the very voice ourselves.
Peter's like, you know, you heard that song. I heard it through the grapevine. Peter's like, no, I heard it from the source. Said, that's the facts, Jack. That's the double truth, Ruth. I love how my son Jackson always says, facts over opinions. Facts over opinions. They're like, we saw his glory, we heard his glory, and he's like, we were on the mountain with him. We heard the voice of majestic glory. So as Peter's writing to these people, these are the events that he wants to tell them. Let me ask you, if you were in Peter's place, what would be the events that you would write about and record to share with other people? Because you have your eyewitness and your ear witness to the things that God has done in your life. And here's the good news. Like Peter's telling his testimony, you can tell yours. It's your story. Peter says, we heard the voice of the majestic glory, and because of that, we have confidence because of this testimony of the living word of Christ. And then it hits him. He goes, and look at verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention. This is a part that Peter's trying to get to. This moment, this part, needing to pay attention. There's so many things that wants to capture your attention, your heart, your energy, your affections. And Peter, going back to verse 11, he says, look, I want you to grow in these qualities because you have this entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Note a couple different things. First of all, not only is it a kingdom, with a king, and that king is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, there's been some kings, but there haven't been a King of Kings. There's been some people who think that they're lords, but you ain't the Lord of Lords. Some people think that they have a kingdom, but it's not an eternal kingdom. Some people think that they're God, but listen, they're not your God and Savior. And listen, ain't nobody called Jesus, because there's no name given unto man by which they must be saved. It's the name above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee, that's the who, every knee shall bow. Where? On earth, under the earth, and in heaven. And proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Peter's saying, listen, you have this firm confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a myth. We saw it with our eyes, and we're telling you about it. We heard it with our ears. We're telling you about it. There's somebody this week who hasn't heard or seen God work, but God wants to bring you into their life to share what you might think is my simple story that I'm going to stumble over my lips. That's okay. Stumble on. Pay attention to the memory of God's word. Pay attention to the majesty of God's word. Pay attention to the meaning of God's word. In this last part, we see that truth is attested through three things: illumination, revelation, and inspiration. Illumination, verse 19. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. You see, God's prophetic word, Peter's saying, is like a lamp shining in the dark place. I like to run. Kind of funny, I used to be a javelin thrower. I used to think runners were kind of a little bit goofy. I was like, you know what, I got an 8.5-foot spear and 3-inch spikes. I'm not running that far. I'm going to turn around after a while and be like, I ain't running anymore. But now I like to run. And sometimes I like to run early in the morning while it's still dark. And when I do, I put a headlamp on so that I can see. And the word of God comes alive when it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But listen, when I go running a little bit later in the morning, I don't need a headlamp. Because the day has already appeared, the sun is already out, and the lamp does not compare to the sun. And the Bible is saying God's word, his prophetic word, was like a lamp shining in dark places. But when the day, when Christ returns, no need for a lamp. And it doesn't even stop there, because he says, and the morning star shall arise in our hearts. That word, morning star, is the word that we get phosphorus from. Phosphorus is a highly reactive chemical that catches on fire when exposed to air. And the Bible says of Jesus in Revelation 22, verse 19, it talks about him being the bright and morning star. This isn't just any old simple carpenter. No. Illumination. Revelation, simply put, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own imagination. Prophecy doesn't come just from someone's interpretation. No. It comes from inspiration. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Second Timothy 3 puts it this way, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pastor Dave, I'm not exactly sure how am I going to make sense of this? The beautiful thing for the believer in Christ is this. It says that men spake from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Being that it's divine origin, it's not one of private or origination. It requires help from the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Guys, we have confidence as disciples in the testimony of the written word of God. We have confidence in the testimony of the living word of God. We have confidence because people passed on this word, and they always intended to make people understand these very great and precious promises, and that's part of our privilege as well. You see, this is Peter's second letter, but in his first letter he wrote this, chapter 1, verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicated when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. Yes, you sitting here this morning. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. The mystery of salvation is so all that, that the unsinning, unerring angels long to look into the mystery of what God did in Christ on behalf of you and I. And the Bible says, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have. You see, because of the word is fully confirmed in the memory, in the majesty, in the meaning of God's word, I have just these three takeaways for us this morning. Number one, regularly remind each other of the precious and very great promises that we have in God. Number two, regularly remember to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, the eternal living Word of God. And lastly, regularly rest in the faithfulness and trustworthiness of the written Word of God. Our God loves you. Came from heaven to earth. Stretched his arms out wide on a cross and died. Rose from the dead. And it's not myth. It's historical fact. Arnold Toynbee said these very important words. He says, listen, find the body of that dead Jew, and Christianity crumbles to its foundation. 2,000 years later, over 500 eyewitnesses, including this one, proclaim to you to say, Christ is alive. Glory to his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we're not playing rock, paper, scissors, that you've given us a great reminder. You've given us just the ministry and the power of witness in your son, Jesus. Not myths and fables, and that it was rooted in the prophetic word of God over hundreds and hundreds of years and faithfully coming to completion. And you said, I will come again. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray today, if any don't know you, that as scripture says that they would not harden their heart, but that they would realize that today is the day of salvation, and you ask them to accept you, to receive you, to believe that you came to die for their sin, to confess their sin, and say, Lord Jesus, I accept your free gift of life. Transform me and make me new. Do it for the glory of your great name, and we pray this in Christ's name, amen. I want to say thank you to the folks that are online worshiping with us today. So grateful that you're with us. Honored to have you. Pray this message blessed you. If you have any questions, please reach out. There's people online that are ministers, so you can chat with them. If you have any questions or contact the church, love to pray for you. For those on our campus today, it's so good to see you guys. We love you. We're grateful for you. We're going to ask that you wait as the ushers come forward and dismiss you, and that you have a blessed week. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.